Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So if we're not following Jesus, we're walking in darkness. We're continuing our series on the shocking claims of Jesus, light of the world, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on the light of the world as we continue the series on the shocking claims of Jesus. And our team, the men in black today, Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries, Curtis Martin of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach and our coach, Danny Abramowitz. And Peter, with all that black you guys are wearing, by the way, they're nice shirts, but
you
we
like
really
these?
Need some light.
We got to hand it to Danny. Danny, this is part of his design. Yeah. That's right. He's so we're talking coach and he wants us all wearing the same thing.
We are talking about Jesus, the light of the world.
This is one of the I am passages. You know, there's lots of I am passages. Jesus said, this is who I am. And this is what sets Jesus apart from every other religious leader, religious guru who ever lived, ever existed. Everybody else pointed to saying, there's the light, or follow my teaching, or follow that path. Jesus said, no, it's not over there, it's not in the teaching, it's me. I am the light of the world. And we'll talk about the game plan about what Jesus was referring to.
In the world, we have light and darkness. Light is day, dark is night. And then you have light of Christ, which is good, right? Dark of evil, which is evil. Daytime, you have no trouble seeing in daytime, do you? At nighttime, you need to see with a light. The light of Christ shines on us, we can follow the path. Darkness of evil, only one way out, the light of Christ. Mm-hmm.
And because we as Christians have come to know Jesus, who is the light of the world, we live in the light. And living in the light, we actually see things differently, just as somebody who lives in the dark would see things differently. In fact, Plato, one of the ancient philosophers, had an allegory of the cave where people lived in darkness and then somebody escaped and went out into the light. And when they came back and tried to share the news of what the light was, the people in the cave hated them. We will be hated because we see things differently.
Any of us who have lived in the darkness, no, you don't want to stay there. We need the light of the world. We have a game plan with Peter and Curtis next here on Crossing the Goal.
Hello, I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. And I got to say, you look sharp in the black. I'm telling
you,
it's nice working for Crossing the Goal.
And
so this is
great. Little Plato reference to open the show, very impressive.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was like 20 years old before I realized that wasn't something you played with, but Plato. But anyway, we are talking about some of the shocking statements of Jesus. And as Peter so well said at the beginning, this is a Jesus claim, not that there is light in the world, and not that he has taught us light, but that he is a light. This is what he says in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What an absolutely amazing statement and what it implies.
You know, it goes back to John, the prologue of the gospel, the very beginning of John's gospel. John communicates the foundation of everything about Jesus, the central thing that he saw about Jesus. And he says it here, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Darkness is what? The death of sin, the death that we're all going to die. And what he's saying is that the light that he brought is a life, he says later in 1 John in the letter, that we've seen, that we've touched. He said the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. We've seen existence beyond death. We've touched it. We know it's true. And it's in a person. It's not in a potion or a formula. It's in a person. And it's in Jesus Christ. And we know that that light was stronger than death because he passed through death. He swallowed up death in victory, and his light shone and the darkness was dispelled.
Which is amazing. And then when you look at it in contrast, if that's true, and it is, Jesus doesn't lie. If that's true, then we have to recognize, what does that imply for those who don't know Jesus?
Yeah.
That each of us without Christ live in darkness.
Yeah.
And that, and we know from our own personal life, you get in trouble when you're in a dark room. You trip over stuff, you break your toes, you hit them on coffee tables, stuff like that. It's not a good thing to live in darkness.
Yeah.
The other thing is, evil tends to be comfortable in darkness. We find ourselves comfortable doing the wrong thing when no one can see.
Yeah.
Light, we tend to behave well. And so Jesus is calling us out of that situation of darkness where we're injuring ourselves and others into light where we can live in the truth.
Yeah. The fundamental darkness that he shines, that he sheds into our heart, Curtis, is that Romans 1 is a good example of what is in play in this fight between light and darkness. The fundamental darkness that's over the human mind and heart, as St. Paul says, is we suppress the truth about God. Sin is that tendency in us, falling into temptation of the devil, to ignore God and to suppress the truth of who he is. And it says to refuse to acknowledge God and to refuse to give him thanks. And because we don't acknowledge God, and we don't see who God is, and we're not surrendered to him, we don't know where we've come from. We don't know why we're here, and we don't know where we're going. That's where we're living in the dark. And so we're wandering around, and we're all susceptible to all the devil wants to serve up all the promises he wants to give us. Here, no, you're made for this. No, you're made for that. Have this, try that, put on this identity. And so we're wandering in the darkness. We're lost and sort of feeling our way around. And Jesus comes and he sheds light and says, no, this is who you are. This is where you've come from. This is the purpose of your life. And this is what you're destined for. But you cannot get there without me as the light in your life to lead you out of the darkness.
So in a certain sense, there's a double blindness. There's a darkness in the world without Christ. And then there's a self-inflicted blindness that when we refuse to honor God and give him thanks, yeah. All of a sudden now we start to think of rationalizations. In fact, it really explains the reality of relativism.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Since we can't see, we begin to pretend that we can see. Well,
yeah.
Let me tell you how life is for me
yeah.
and for you. And when Jesus comes and shines his light, all of a sudden we live in the truth, and now we can all see the same thing. Now we can agree on objective reality,
yeah.
that there are certain truths that are true for everyone. And Jesus comes to reveal those to us so that we can make sense out of our own lives, out of this world, and out of his call to navigate this world into eternal
exactly.
life.
Exactly. Then he passes the torch, as it were. He passes the light from himself, his own being, to us. And he says to us, now, you're the light of the world. I've lit you up. I've made you the light of the world. Why? Because you know who you are. You know who God is. I've given you true knowledge of your origin, your being, what you're for, what you were made for, and who made you, and what he's doing to save you. I've given you that truth. Now, you have the light that the whole world needs. Everybody's searching for those answers, and you've got it. Now go make disciples by sharing that light and passing it on to other people.
And this is the sense of mission as a Catholic, to recognize
yeah.
that it is our job, if we are lights, to shine in the darkness. That's
yeah.
what we do. So to go out into the culture, this idea that our faith should be private, that we should hold it back, that I can be personally opposed, but I shouldn't impose my views
right.
on others. Look, this is all a lie from hell. The reality of the matter is, we're supposed to shine the truth, the goodness, the beauty of God into the world, because we've received the light of Christ, and we've become the light of the world. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter, for the good game plan. Coach, it kind of takes me back to where things were pretty dark.
Yeah, I think you and I were sort of straddling darkness and light back in those days, don't you think?
Yeah, and often there was a lot more darkness than light.
Absolutely.
Thank God the light's coming on, and we're going to take it with us to the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone now. I am the light of the world. We're talking about the shocking sayings of Jesus. And if we go to Psalm 139, Coach, we read about the light.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. It says in verse 11, I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness and light, for darkness is as light with you. I can relate to this. Back in my 20s and 30s, I was sort of, as I mentioned up there before, straddling the dark and the light. And I wasn't totally in darkness. Twilight, as you mentioned in the conversation, I was trying to keep my foot with the light, which is in Christ and his church. But I was so profoundly overcome by all the glory and all the things that were happening in my professional life that it was overweighing the light. Mm-hmm. And eventually, when you stay long enough in the darkness, darkness prevails because you're not calling on the light. I was calling on myself. It was all about myself. And finally, darkness overcame and despair started setting in. And I didn't know where to turn but one place, Curtis, to light.
Yeah.
And when I turned to the light and says, Lord, come in, he says, I've never left you. I've been here all the time. Mm-hmm. You just have not asked for the light.
Yeah.
And once I did that, I asked for the light, my life started changing in incremental stages.
Yeah, and here Jesus, this passage, you made me think of John chapter 3. And Jesus says, and this is the judgment. And his judgment, what he sees about the condition of the world, he said, the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, and so you have the condition of the world. We have a set of people, some people in the world who just say, look, I'm my own light. I don't need any light from anybody. All right? I got life figured out. I don't need religion. I don't need any God or your Jesus. Forget it. All right? I got all the light I need. That person's in total darkness. That's a creature who thinks he's God, and that's about as dark as it gets. That's nuts. But then there's us, you know, who are sometimes in the twilight, like you're saying, where we believe the light, but we still think we can handle some of the darkness, like our pet sins, you know, or the things that our affection that we have for things that we know the Lord wants us to let go of, but it's hard for us to let go of them. And we end up living in the twilight a little bit instead of coming into the full light of you know, saying no to whatever the darkness is there and everything that Jesus wants us to do. I think that's our bigger challenge for all of us, you know.
And we have to recognize our destiny. Our destiny is to be either with God forever or to be apart from him forever. And to be with him forever, the scriptures tell us, he lives in unapproachable light, that we have to recognize it's not going to be like a little bit of light or a little more light. It's going to be a radiance that will shine. And if we don't become comfortable in that environment, we will actually find ourselves running almost like a cockroach does when you turn the lights on. Because we will prefer the darkness. Why?
Yeah.
Because we've held on to those evil things inside of us, as you said, and we're going to have to choose in an instant when the light comes on, do I want to hide or do I run to the light?
Yeah.
And what is that orientation in our in the heart of hearts?
Yeah,
that's
a
little exercise you can actually do to demonstrate that is be in a completely dark room and go out into the sun. And you can hardly stand it.
Yeah.
But after you're in the light and you live in the light, you love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We got to be careful when we start talking about the darkness. I didn't jump right into drinking and become an alcoholic. It was a little drink here, a little drink, then more, and then more, and then more. Then it prevailed. It took over my life. Same thing out here. I bet a lot of people don't just jump right into pornography. They go in, they do a little bit, they dabble. In the darkness, next thing, it grabs them. So it's not like immediately darkness comes in. I guess it could happen, but I don't think it happens that way.
Yeah.
And then when we start dabbling more in the darkness, we lead the light because we're embarrassed. We don't want the light.
Yeah.
We want to.
We have shame. Yeah.
We got shame. Plus,
guilt.
We like the darkness.
Right.
A lot of the darkness feels pretty good.
Yeah.
We think
nobody's going to judge us.
No one's going to judge. I'm not hurting anybody. And then next thing I know that we're trapped and then we wake up and say, I am the most miserable person in the world.
And I think we have to have a certain sense of compassion for those who are in the darkness and recognize that the transition back to light, as you hinted, Brian, isn't a comfortable transition. Once you make the transition, it's wonderful, but that initial transition can actually be painful and overwhelming. Light, when you've been living in darkness, light is initially blinding. Mm-hmm. And then, but once you've made the transition, we recognize, no, it's because of light I can see everything. But that moment in between is very difficult, and we have to recognize that they really need to hear the gospel of God's love and mercy before they hear all the teachings, or at least they need to hear that very clearly as they're hearing his teachings. Because really the word we have to speak to those who are trapped in darkness is there is a God who is rich in mercy, who loves you profoundly, and is calling you to be with him.
And it shouldn't be too hard for us to have compassion for anybody else, because Jesus said, men prefer darkness to light. You're a man, right?
Yeah.
You're a man, I'm a man. I mean, what
too.
Jesus is diagnosing the sin-sick condition of Peter Herbeck's heart, really what's going on. And we've talked this week sometimes about how sobered we are by our own attraction and affection for sins and things that God doesn't want us to do. Even we may not end up doing those things, but it's still alive in us at a certain, it's not dead yet, you know what I mean? There's still a dimension of us that's attracted to the dark. And it's a battle. It's a battle to stay into the light, isn't it? I mean,
I think it's important in this is a discernment of spirits.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times darkness comes upon like it's light.
Yeah.
It tricks you. We have to discern, and we have to bring the light into our life so we can discern properly. Because a lot of times it comes like this is a good thing.
Yeah.
This is not harmful to you. And listen, is that the devil speaking, or is that Christ the light speaking?
Yeah.
The discernment is very, and we have to be in a mode of meditation and prayer and be around like-minded Christian fellows to
Here's
be
an
able
example,
to help you.
It can sound a little out there, but an example of the darkness that can come onto mind when you think you're doing well. Look at how many, we know the whole abortion story in the United States, 52 million, and the rationale that says, you know, it's actually good for the child somehow, or that it's better for us if this child should die. Somebody's got to die in order for life to work better for me and for everybody else, and it's for the good of everybody involved, which is really a big lie. And that same lie gets spread across all kinds of things, like embryonic stem cell research. Well, if we're all going to, if we don't want Danny to suffer from Alzheimer's and have to suffer from all that stuff, well, somebody's got to die so you can be happy, and so you can, and it's a good thing for us to do that. It's a good thing for something to be, and you know what I mean? So we get blinded, and that's the darkness of really serious sin that we think we're doing a good thing.
I almost want to also say, though, that for those that are living in the twilight, who recognize, I mean, we're sitting here with very snappy black shirts, there's no doubt about it, but to look, you can almost look at a heart as a house filled with rooms, and we're religious guys, so the front room is pretty put together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But there are, in our hearts, there are closets and back rooms filled with junk. We are still broken men who are trying to, and Jesus is coming to visit. He's not just going to want to sit in the front room.
Yeah.
He's going to want to go back and say, what do you got in here? And so wherever you are in your life, it's can you open up the next room or that closet and say, Jesus, this is yours too. Whatever's in there that doesn't please you, just take it away.
Yeah, that's really good.
Because we've got to have undivided hearts. But I speak to somebody who still has a divided heart.
Yeah. That's really good.
Well, and the light that we talk about, Coach, you brought in discernment. We have to shed light on these dark or twilight issues. And I love what you said, Peter, about accountability. I know that if I'm willing to share something that I'm thinking might be good for me or someone else with an accountable partner, that person can really see things much brighter than I can sometimes, because I kind of live in my own shadow.
Yeah. And I think that's why we have a good rapport, that we do bring things up to one another, and sometimes it's not the most pleasant thing to hear sometimes, but it is that we know each one of us care about the other person, and we're going to tell that person the truth.
Oh, we're a little bit like our cars. We got blind spots, and so we need a friend to be able to say, watch
exactly.
out, there's something in your blind spot.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to the email.
Look out, there's a truck.
We got an email from Jaws, Nigeria. And we'll get into the email bag, and these guys will get the last word on the light of the world in the end zone next on Crossing the Goal. We've crossed the goal, we're in the end zone, and we're looking at the light of the world. We'll get the last word from our team members coming up. But first, why don't we remind you that we get email from all over the world. We'd love to hear from you at Crossing the Goal. Go to crossingthegoal.com. In fact, we have an email to share from Jaws, Nigeria. Solomon writes, he says, how can I get to know that Jesus really cares about me and that he will answer my prayer? He says, I want to join you. How is that possible?
Well, I think you're doing the right thing. Watching the show, that's a start. But you have to look at yourself in your personal life. What are you doing? How's your prayer life? What's your sacramental life like? And also, we've talked about it on numerous times, get around like-minded Christian men.
Yeah, it's a conversation. It's a conversation, as you say, Danny, a prayer,
and then allowing God to speak to you through the scriptures, and then finding brothers who are going to challenge you and encourage you to always stay close to the Lord, because we will stumble along the way. You hold those three cords together, that's a strand that is not easily broken.
Solomon, I'd like to suggest surrender. Often we ask for the will of God, but we really don't want it. We want God to kind of co-sign our will. I found that only through complete surrender, admitting my own powerlessness, was I empowered by Christ himself. And I'd suggest that you look into that. In the meantime, let's look at the last word on the light of the world with Peter.
Thank you, Brian. Talking about light, Jesus is the light of the world, and he called us to be the light and empowered us to be the light of the world. But Pope Benedict XVI, a number of years ago, said something that I'll never forget. He said, in vast areas of the world today, the faith is in danger of dying out like a flame which no longer has fuel. The essence of our light is our faith. And one of the things we need to ask the Lord now in this year of faith is ask the question, Lord, where am I? Where is my faith? Lord, examine me. I love St. Francis's question. He'd often ask, Lord, God, who are you and who am I? Ask the Lord that question and let him examine your heart and the condition of where you're at now so you can be everything he wants you to be.
I think just to be prepared for the process of stepping into the light, which is really a two-step process. When we first come into the light, it is uncomfortable. We think of Peter, our first pope, when he first encountered Jesus Christ, he looked at him and said, depart from me, I am a sinful man. But what is waiting for us right on the other side of that uncomfortable transition is a God who loves us, who is filled with mercy and wants to lead us to a better way. So to trust Christ, to take our courage and put it in him and our trust in him so that he can lead us into the light so we can live a victorious life with him.
You know, in AA they have two steps. The fourth step is inventory, which in the church, Catholic Church, is examination of conscience. And we have to examine our conscience to find out, are we living in darkness or are we following the light of Christ? And the second step is step five, which is we tell somebody else, which is in the Catholic faith is confession. So if you find yourself that you are living in darkness or you're sort of on the twilight there, go to confession. Confession. Get it off your chest and the light of Christ will come in through grace.
All right. Very important. Two of the 12 steps. Coach, thank you. Curtis, Peter. I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, I had trouble with authority. So no wonder I had trouble following Jesus. Because Jesus states, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. We'll look at all authority next time here on Crossing the Goal.